Welcome back to I'm Sorry, Dad.
We're going to become like radio show hosts that just do like sound effects.
Welcome back to the Morning Zoo with Ry Doon and Brandon Calvillo.
Wankers.
Wonkers. On this episode, it's just Brandon and I just shooting the shit. You guys just hang out with us as we hang out.
Yeah.
Join us.
Talking about, once again, girls.
Of course.
Relationships.
Relationships.
And we get a bit into internet culture.
Yeah, we talk about internet culture and how all you stupid motherfuckers are way too sensitive and shut the fuck up. Everybody listening, shut up.
Yeah, that's not going to make them angry.
Yeah, just kidding. We talk about how people can be overly sensitive on the internet.
Yeah.
And of course, we talk about movies here and there. We love movies, and I just discovered a great movie.
And what movie is it? Well, you're about to find out.
You'll have to wait and see.
Or hear.
Before I go, follow us on everything. Subscribe to our YouTube, youtube.com/I'm Sorry Dad. Brandon has a short coming out probably today.
Maybe today, if it's Wednesday today, then if not, tomorrow on Thursday.
So either December 6th or December 7th, look out for a brand new short with Brandon Calvillo starring Alex Ernst.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, a lot of things.
Well, yeah. How should I wrap this up? I guess nothing. Just thanks for listening. We love you guys.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
We'll say we love you guys on three. One, two, three. We love you guys. What's up, Brandon?
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
dude. Things are happening.
You excited for this brand new episode?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited just to hear it as I'm saying it.
Yeah.
I'm excited right now.
Every episode we do, I feel really lucky to be talking to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. You see, that's expected.
Yeah.
That's expected.
Because this is the only time we ever hang out, which is fine.
It is.
This counts as hanging out.
I know it does. I kind of enjoy this because it's like we do now, it's like we're forced to hang out with each other at least once a week.
Right.
Which is dope.
And there are times where I think like, let's get lunch after this, but I'm pretty burnt out from you by then.
Yeah. It's the perfect amount of time. It's 40 minutes
of
both of each other and then we're just done and then we're like, okay, bye.
I usually leave feeling sad and like hopeless about humanity because you're so dark.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good balance. You know,
Wait, because I'm so dark? What do you mean because I'm so dark?
Well, you're so dark and depressing. Like, you're just so, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, like black tar.
You're like black tar in my life.
Oh, okay.
Which makes the rest of my life stronger. Because it's like my life is like, we need to fight off this black tar. So like, you know, makes the rest of my life work harder to be happy because you're such a downer.
Yeah, it's like how I told David how I don't wash my hands sometimes after I use the bathroom. I do that because it helps you build a stronger immune system because I don't do that now, but I did do that for a while and it helps you build a strong immune system because you get bacteria on your hands.
Right.
And then your body has to fight that bacteria so you don't get sick, thus building your immune system up, thus making it so you don't get sick easier.
And that's
makes it harder to get sick.
That's what you are to me. You're a bacteria.
Yep. And every time I leave, I'm like building your immune system up for more and more bacteria.
That's right. Now, I say that jokingly, but you do have a darker outlook on life. Or not really, but I'm mainly joking.
Yeah.
But I like our dynamic here. You're kind of like smart, and I'm like stupid.
I just make a bunch of jokes about AIDS, and you tell stories about your depressing love life.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's that going, by the way, man?
Well, went on a date recently.
Okay, now things are popping off. Let's get to it. Let's get into it, huh?
Well, I learned from my experience with Frank to not really document my dating life because if it doesn't work out, it might not be cool.
Oh, yeah.
And it also freaked her out that I was talking about her, even in retrospect. While it was happening, she was like, no, talk about me. It's funny. But then she ended up not liking it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So The reason why I'll tell you about this day is because I'll never see this broad again.
Oh, it's broad, huh? What are you, fucking 1950s waiter?
You got it. Say, broad, let's go on a date. I can't do that voice.
Okay, go ahead.
Before I tell this quick date story, I want to share with you some milestones that we've had.
Okay.
Number one, this is a small milestone, but we reached over 1,000 subscribers to YouTube.
Oh, cool.
So that's worth jerking off to.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to jerk off anyways, but now I have a reason.
Cool, yeah. Think of me.
Okay.
Or your dad.
Can I both?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Threesome with me and your dad.
Dope.
Sweet. Another milestone. I did a show at the Improv Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Young lady approached me after the show. She's a fan of the pod.
Really?
Our first podcast fan.
What did she say?
Our first fan that approached me and said, I'm a fan from the podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
Granted, she already knew you from Instagram.
Yeah.
So she found the podcast through your Instagram.
Okay.
Then came to see me at a show.
Hey now.
It's amazing.
You're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play.
Go play.
Oh, yeah. So that's good. I'm happy that happened. Did she like, how old was she?
I think she was like 23.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so the audience is a little older.
Yeah. You got to be 18 plus to go to the shows.
Oh, okay.
I don't know her age. She appeared to be around 23.
I just figured you asked her before you stuck your dirty cock in her.
Oh, no, I don't care about age when it comes to that.
Oh, okay, cool.
no, we didn't hook up at all.
Yeah.
Just kept it friendly. But she said that I am very interesting on the podcast.
You are?
And I was like, what?
Yeah. you're interesting because you're soul-bearing.
I guess so, yeah.
So that's what people kind of enjoy, listening to somebody bear their soul.
Yeah, I guess so.
And be vulnerable. And just, like, honestly, like, embarrass themselves.
I know. I'm really putting myself out there.
No, I'm just kidding.
And sometimes afterwards, I'm like, it gives me anxiety. Because I'm like, fuck, I'm really sharing a lot.
It's like, on the podcast? Or you mean, like, it doesn't matter.
All right, doesn't matter.
I mean, you get that. You get a girl who just came up to you and was like, you're interesting. You're wouldn't want to date you because I know how sensitive you are. But you are interesting for sure.
Oh, another thing. At that show, another girl went to the show, but because she knew me already from videos and stuff.
Yeah.
But she's super pretty, super nice. Then we kept in touch a little bit. I think I'm going to hang out with her, like as a date thing. This will be the last I ever speak about her.
Okay.
Because she seems normal.
Yeah.
And kind.
Oh, no.
And she's pretty.
Oh, no.
She's not in the industry at all.
Oh.
So this is the last time I will ever speak of her on this podcast.
Oh, man. She's too many good things.
She's too good.
She's too many good things.
I talked to her for 5 minutes, and I love her.
What's her name? Say it fully.
No.
Full name. Come on.
No.
Okay.
Not going to say it, but she was there with a dude.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, she's like, this is my friend. And I was like, okay, your friends. Because I wanted to be like, do you want to get a drink?
Yeah. That's always weird when girl has, like, guy friends around her and you're like, wait, like, you're not fucking? Why aren't you fucking?
I assume that she is.
What, the guy friend?
Yeah, but
yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I barely know her. And
yeah.
She's allowed to have a life before me, I guess.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Our first podcast fan, dude.
It's pretty dope.
It's working.
Yeah.
It's working. Then I went to San Diego to make videos with Vincent Marcus.
Oh, yeah. Vincent Marcus, the fat fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
The gooey guy. He's a gooey guy.
I have got... Actually, I don't want to say the fat... Okay. So I made a joke. I made a couple jokes. Everybody... You know Nick, right? Jonah, who's in the... Part of the whatever. In the vlogs. David Dobrik has this guy named Jonah, and his name's Nick, but David calls him Jonah because he looks like Jonah Hill. And Nick is he's a good guy. Like, I like Nick. He's like a friend of mine now. And so, and Nick is like overweight, and we all make fun of him for it in the videos. Like, we all make fun of him. It's just like with your friends, like, you fat fuck, like just joking around. And, I was making these jokes with Jason with Nick in the diner, and it was at Nick's expense. Granted, it was at Nick's expense, but we were like making jokes at him, and he was going along with the bit. The whole bit was like how I'm describing an elliptical, and I'm like, "Have you ever seen one before?" And he's like, "No," and I'm like, "Okay." I'm like describing like going to the gym, mm-hmm. like he's never seen it before, and obviously it was a massive joke, and then And like Jason's laughing and Jason puts it in his vlog. And then I like just scroll down to the top comments, just like, wow, Brandon's fat jokes aren't funny and they're very mean. And I'm like, listen, motherfucker. Like I was fucking like obese when I was 14 and I was ridiculed for it for like 4 years. And I'm not saying that that makes it okay. It doesn't make it okay. And I don't believe in fat shaming. I don't believe in fat shaming. Mm-hmm. I believe if you're friends with somebody that like you're allowed to put the friends make fun of each other all the time.
Especially guys.
That's the thing. Guys make fun of each other a lot. Girls do it too, but guys do it a lot. Right. And like, you know, like you make fun of me for being gross and fucking like stupid and a lot of things. And I make fun of you for being, you know, sensitive or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And it's just, we're friends and that's how we bond. It's a weird male dynamic. Mm-hmm. But like when people see that happening, like in a video, they assume that it's just bullying. And it's like so weird to me.
It's annoying.
It's like these people who don't know either me, Nick, or Jason. They don't know our dynamic as friends. And they're just going, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't. It's like, who are you
right.
to fucking tell me what I can say to my friend and for you to say what my friend should feel about me saying that to him? If Nick genuinely didn't want me to say, if I felt like Nick was uncomfortable, I would stop.
Right.
Because I know like when to fucking stop. I don't know. It's just like, it's just crazy to me, this like sense of entitlement people feel when they're right. watching a video of a vlog or of a Instagram video or a photo or this or that on social media, where people feel like they have the right to tell you what you should and shouldn't say to your fucking friends. Like,
right. Granted, you are putting it on the internet. So that does.
I know it's free. I'm bitching because it's like, I know.
But I know what you mean. Do you know, can you tell the age? What's the gender and sex and age group of these people giving the comments?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming they're the same. They're like 15-year-old girls, probably. Okay. They're usually like 15-year-old girls. For some boys, like, but they're always 15 years old. Whenever we go out to any event, or not event, but when I went to the show in Chicago for David and Jason, all the fans were girls. Literally everyone in the audience were like 15-year-old girls. So I'm assuming that's who's in the comment section. And, right. you know, like teenagers nowadays are very like extremely sensitive.
Right. I've always been annoyed by that.
Yeah.
We've talked about it in the podcast before. Like if you do something a little bit negative online in a comedy sketch, people will be like, that's mean.
Yeah.
Even if it was like staged and scripted.
Yeah. And everybody was okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, like.
It's annoying. Stop complaining, little girls.
I don't know. It's that. And it's not just little girls and little boys. This is like a thing that people my age are saying too. Like people who are like 23 to like 30. They're like being like, you know what, man? Change now. We need like change. Like in terms of like, you shouldn't. No one should ever say anything bad about anyone ever.
Right.
That is the general consensus amongst millennials. When you see it on like Twitter.
There's often an argument online that's like, what's wrong with being fat? Well, it's really unhealthy.
Well, there's nothing wrong. Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with being fat. Like when I was like really fat, there was nothing really wrong with it. It was just like my parents were like, dude, like, we want you to be healthy. Like we just want you to be like what you said. Yeah. We want you to be healthy. But you know what? If you want to be fat, then like just whatever, but we want you because like, I was in pain. I had heart pain. I had trouble breathing. I was fucking really depressed because I was just laying around all the time and your body gets depressed when you're just laying around all the time and your mind does. And I was just like, fuck dude, this sucks. Like I just want to change this. And I didn't change. Like my brothers and my friends would say like, ah, you fat fuck with your big butter tits. Like, ah, you, and I would just be like, ah, whatever. I would just like shrug it off. Yeah. It wouldn't extremely hurt me, but I mean, I was ridiculed,
right?
But it wasn't like this deep seated, like my feelings. I was just like, yeah, do whatever. I'm like, I eat a lot. I'm fat. I get it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people,
it's really, taking ownership.
Yeah. There are a lot of people really internalize it. I'm like, everyone thinks I'm fat. I suck.
Yeah. And that's not the case at all.
But it is, like I said, frustrating when you're joking around online.
Yeah.
You poke fun at somebody And yeah. And people are just like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I know.
But that's where comedy lives, as Drew Lynch said. It lives within like negativity often. It's a good setup to say something dark, and then a punchline is a surprise. Maybe it's a light surprise.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the darkness.
Oh, yeah, no. The comedy is just anger masked with something. You have to be secretly kind of full of hate to be a comedian. I genuinely believe that. To be a comedian, I really feel like you have to be full of anger. That's masked with something. Because obviously you're angry because this is what's wrong, man. This is like you're observational and you're like, this is what's wrong. This is stupid. This is that. This is this. And it's just anger. So it's anger that's masked with this, like, it's like a Trojan horse of anger. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you know, the Trojan horse that got pushed into the place and then all the Romans or whatever that came out and attacked everybody. That's what it's like. But it's like anger inside of that masked with like, lighthearted, you know?
I hear you.
I don't know. But what I will say in regards to the fat situation, if you have like an actual issue, if you have a thyroid problem and you can't like lose weight, there's like, obviously, there's no reason to at all. I mean, like it's hard to. But if you are like overweight, like I was, I fucking took ownership of it. I was like, yeah, I eat. I like to eat a lot. And you know what? Mm-hmm. If people, like my brothers, my friends make fun of me, all right.
Right. I think fat shaming generally is bad.
It is.
But if you're doing it within your friend circle and everyone knows, like, we love you. We're just making fun of you.
Yeah, that's it. If it's just some random asshole, it's like, hey, fat fuck on the street. Like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, dude.
That's awful. I've seen videos like that. That's awful.
Oh, yeah.
No. That's the worst.
There was a popular Vine where it was kids following around an overweight man with a tuba. Do, 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 do. And the dude got really upset and angry and made me feel so bad inside watching that.
I just kind of giggled at the imagery.
Yeah.
But I wished it wasn't a random guy.
It was a stranger.
It was just a stranger.
And these kids were just tormenting this overweight stranger. Bummer, dude.
Yeah. Well, I guess that if the movement, the millennial movement of everyone has to be good with each other all the time ever maybe we'll get rid of like that, then sure. Mm-hmm. But like if it comes to like friend stuff and it's just like you record yourself and you put it online, granted, you don't have control over how people interpret, you know, things that you say. It's out of your control at that point.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I'm fucking saying.
I just saw a video of me. Vincent and I recorded some videos. There's one video of me where I shamed myself internally. Editing it earlier today. I'm like, oh, man, I look like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm definitely not fat, but I am. I have more fat in my body than I want. Yeah. And it's all because of you, Frank. No, I'm just kidding.
It all goes back to Frank.
Ooh, I might have told this story. Stop me if I've told the story in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks after Frank, I scheduled a date. And she came to a comedy show. Does this ring a bell?
Did she go to a gay bar?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the one that you told me. Because you told me that story about a girl that like went to a gay bar accidentally.
Oh, all right. That was Frank. She went to a gay themed night. Anyway, so 2 weeks after Frank, I schedule a date from the internet, just out of pain. Just like, I just want to be validated. I want a pretty girl to laugh at me.
Yeah.
There was a scheduling mix up. She couldn't hang out on our initial date night. Then she was like, I can only hang out on Wednesday. And I was like, fuck, I'm doing a show. So I was like, all right, come to the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was with Dane Cook. Did I say this?
No.
All right. So it was like an impressive show. I feel like I've said this. It's in quotes, impressive show for like a new date to see. It's at the Hollywood Improv, the main room. Dane Cook was on the show. Harlan Williams, Jamie Kennedy. So I was hosting and I did well. But I did some new jokes, some brand new jokes about Frank.
You have said this.
Damn it.
Yeah, you have.
Okay.
But doesn't it just like you kind of like bared your soul again?
On stage, I just have new jokes about being heartbroken. And then afterwards, she was like, good job. I was like, were those jokes about your ex-girlfriend true? I was like, yeah. Like I should probably tell you I'm still upset about my ex. So that was pretty much the end of the date. We kept on hanging out and having a good time, but it was clear that I just wasn't ready for love. You know what I mean?
Right. You know what you're like?
What?
You're like that that game with the guy where you have to get the organs out of him with the
operation.
Thing. You're like Operation. And if you touch you zzz, it's like super sensitive.
Uh-huh.
But that's it. You're just a sensitive guy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not like sensitive.
I'm sensitive too.
I'm sensitive with only certain things. Like a stranger can say, fuck you, pussy. And I'll just be like, all right.
Yeah, but with girls.
I guess so.
You're very sensitive. I am too. Yeah.
I guess so. Only with girls I like. And Frank was the second girl I've liked since I've been here.
Yeah.
Well, other girls, I'm just like, I end up not really liking them that much. So therefore, I'm insensitive, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this date I went on in Santiago.
What happened?
It was a girl from Bumble.
Bumble fucking dating app thing.
She already knew me from videos. And we met up at a restaurant. Got some eats, got some apps, some drink.
You ate her ass? What?
I ate her ass.
Nice.
That's the first thing I did.
What? Did you even say hi?
No.
Oh.
I silently just mimed, lower your pants. She did, so I was consented. No, I'm kidding. We just got some food and some drinks, and it was all right. But like she was saying, like, are you going to talk about this on the podcast?
Oh, fucking hell. Well, yeah, now she's probably listening to this right now.
Yeah, she is.
So, sorry.
But it ended. I'll probably see her again when I go to San Diego. But it was just like a friendly date. We didn't even, we didn't you smash.
You didn't fuck in the back alley?
No.
No, that's too bad.
I just ate her ass right away and then
yeah,
we went our separate ways. But yeah, that's my anticlimactic story, no pun intended, about my second date since Frank.
Don't worry, man. There's plenty of fish in...
Yeah, but they're all crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Thing is, so am I. But I got some exciting things happening that just started happening over the weekend.
What?
Well, can't really talk about it, but...
Well, that's a good thing to just say. I got some exciting stuff coming, but can't say anything.
Marlon Webb and Luke Flip and I are making a show.
Cool.
And... Like, we pitched it, and there is a production team that's going to do it with us, so that's exciting. I wish I could say more, but I can't. Also got another project with the Property Brothers in the works, Drew and Jonathan Scott.
Can you not talk about that either?
Can't talk about that either.
So these are great topics to bring up on a podcast where you talk.
But I could say that I'm probably filming a portion of the Property Brothers thing at my show tomorrow. So if you're listening, LA, got a show tomorrow at the Hollywood Improv Lab with Jamie Kennedy, Drew Lynch, Jay Walker, and more. You should come. There's still tickets left because I'm going to be filming a segment of my potential show.
Nice.
So do that. Guess what, dude?
What, man?
My engagement on Instagram, way up. I posted. Dope. I'm going to make a complaint, dude. It's going to make me not look that cool. Posted a promo video for the show tomorrow, which you're listening Wednesday, December 6th. Made a promo with Jay Walker, has almost 500,000 views, has sold 0 tickets from that promo.
Whoa.
I called last Friday. I called the club last Friday. I was like, all right, what are the numbers? They're like, we have sold 0. I was like, what?
You know what it is? I mean, I think they put your videos on the comedy page, on the comedy comedians thing.
So people from in like Afghanistan are watching in North Korea. Yeah. But they can't fly here.
Yeah, they're just like, oh. Okay, what is this silly? Why is this man in a bathtub crying? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I don't know. In regards to the girl situation, just I'd say fuck your way to freedom, freedom.
I need to. I've already decided I'm just going to focus on work.
Uh huh.
And then if a girl comes along, so be it. I'm not normally pursuing a girlfriend. Like, I've made it sound like I am in this podcast, but I'm really, it is what it is.
Yeah.
If you're a dame listening right now, and you like me, so pathetic, then hit me up on hit me up on my DMs and let's have a one night stand. See, that I shouldn't be doing that.
Why not?
No more one night stands.
If this podcast gets you laid, then that's like that's what it's all about, fella.
Yeah, that's why I do this podcast.
I know. That's why I do it. Shit.
No, I want this podcast to, you know, just build our exposure. And if people come out to shows, then fuck yeah.
Yeah. Dope. Right.
And if we bang, then all right. Fine.
Fine. She says, can we bang? Fine.
Fine. Meet me in the bathroom in 5 minutes.
Yeah. I hate Ralph. Ralph's the cat that's on the floor.
She's also our producer. She's sleeping right now.
Oh yeah. That's probably why we're this is such a shit show. It's because she's sleeping.
Yeah, that's why our show sucks so much.
Thanks a lot, Ralph.
Just kidding. The show is awesome. What's new in your life? Any broads, dames? Any
broads.
I should stop saying broad.
Yeah, broad's like
what does it mean?
It means girl, but it means like a dame. Meh.
I wonder if there's
I would rather say dame. Hey, I'm going to go pick up some dames from the Sarsaparilla bar.
I like saying broad because Bill Burr says it. It's just funny.
Broad?
Yeah.
It's a Boston thing.
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
But Bill Burr dropped in on a show I was on and got to see him. That was cool.
That was dope.
That was dope. What about you and your dames, though?
Me and my dames. That was like a Rascal Flatts song. It's like me and my gang. It's from Rascal Flatts. Do you listen to Rascal Flatts?
No, but he covered Life is a Highway, right?
He did.
Life is a highway.
And I'm going to ride it. He did it for that animated movie, Cars, with Owen Wilson, who played a car.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what he...
Let's go sailing. Wedding Crashers.
You sound more like the Joker. That just sounded like you coming.
No, you know what I sound like when I come. Ow. Stop. Wait.
No, dude, my dating life's kind of like I don't date anymore. Like I said, a girl broke my heart, and I don't want to do it anymore. I'm just not gonna do it.
Right.
The whole I can't.
Yeah, I can't either.
It's just like it's like you know it was that was like a microcosm of like what with this girl of like what I think a relationship would be. It was just very minute. It was like 2 months.
Right.
So I got to experience all the awful feelings and all the great feelings, but all the awful feelings as well. And then the final dissipation, I don't even know if that's a word, where everything just falls apart and then you're left broken. And then you just smash your way through puss trying to heal it.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But no, I don't know. I haven't even really been doing that. I don't.
It's too much time, too much effort.
It's not as too much effort. It's just that it's too much. You shouldn't. This is something that everybody says, but like you shouldn't have to put in effort to make something happen. It should just happen. You should just meet somebody, and then you want to keep talking to them, and you want them to keep talking to you, and you get you know butterflies in your stomach when you get a text from them, and then when you call and you hear them talk, or when they're talking in front of you, you just like, oh, their eyes, their face, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Like that's what's supposed to happen,
right?
But a lot of the times, people just try and force it because they're like, well, I guess I should have a girlfriend. It's like, what a stupid thing to like, I guess I should just have one.
In Boston, people, when they reach around the age of 30, they really buckle down. Especially girls, I've noticed. Women, they get around 30, like, the clock is ticking. Especially in Boston, it's very corporate. Or not corporate. It's a very work city. It's very traditional, like, get a job, family. And that's it.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm lucky that I'm 33 in LA because there's other fellow 33-year-olds out there who are single. But in Boston, it's like everyone's married by then almost.
Yeah.
And people just really compromise a lot. It's like, all right, he's not attractive at all, but he's got a good job. He's got a good family. I'll marry him and have kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, that's what I don't want. And a lot of people have jobs they don't want. So, man, we are super lucky that we're able to live these just like
pathetic
very
lives.
Dysfunctional lives.
Dysfunctionally. But I don't get that because I know that like they're like, I just got to marry this guy because I'm, you know, I'm getting up there. And a lot of the reason it's like, well, I don't want to be alone. And it's like, well, but you would rather just like deal with a guy that you don't like and shit out some kids that you hate.
People do it.
Why? Like, that doesn't make sense to me at all.
Crazy. And then they get divorced. Most people get divorced, 50%.
Yeah. My parents got divorced.
I'm sorry.
No, it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was great. You know why? You know why? Because they got divorced when I was 8. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is what happens to relationships is they just end. Oh. It wasn't like this catastrophic thing. It wasn't like, what? What do you mean? It was like, oh, they were like both just in the living room, like, okay, sit down. We're going to be splitting up and you're going to see both of us. 1 week you're going to see your dad. 1 week you're going to see me, your mom. And I was like, yeah, all right.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And they're like, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah. My brothers were like, well, no. I think my oldest brother was really upset. Jesse, yeah. Who's my second oldest, was just like, he was just like looking up at the fucking ceiling. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I mean, sure. And then after that, it just became normal. Like, my dad lives away. My mom lives over here. And I see each of them like once a week. And it made it great, too, because when you get, at least as a child, when you're living in a house with both your parents, that's why you become rebellious, is because it's too much parental guidance mm-hmm. at once, because it's two fucking parents. And so when I moved into my dad's house for a week, I would just get my dad's side of things.
Right.
Only one parent. And so it was like, I didn't feel the need to rebel because it was not... Rebellion, I really feel like teenage rebellion comes from too much parental guidance.
Mm-hmm.
An overbearing parent.
And a lack of freedom.
A lack of freedom, overbearing parents, and all that stuff. But when you only have one parent... Maybe I just got lucky because my parents were like really, really great. But like,
and they stayed civil between them too?
Yeah, they totally did.
That's huge.
And in the first like 3 months, I remember there was one night where like my mom was dropping off laundry and she was just like, "You didn't fucking wash the fucking like laundry." And then they were like yelling about laundry that was stupid. And I was just like, "Oh," but then that was the only fight they ever had. And then after that, they're like, "Oh, okay, like whatever."
Right, right.
We had children.
That's good.
That's but
good on your parents for keeping it civil.
Yeah. Good on them for getting divorced too.
My parents got divorced. I was, I believe, a senior in high school.
Yeah.
And I found out in a weird way. My mom was in the midst of mental illness and my dad just like really had to break it off.
Yeah.
Like it was ruining his life pretty much.
Yeah.
But I found out, I came home from like, I don't know, we were hanging out with my buddy Liam. And Liam was with me. I go up to stairs to just check in. He's like, "Hey, mom, dad, I'm home." And it was just my mom in her bed, in a bad state of mind. I open the door. She's like, "Rye, it's over." I was like, "What? Your father's leaving me."
Holy shit.
And I was like, whoa. All right, good night. Then I went to my dad in another bedroom. I was like, "Hey, dad, is it true?" He's like, "Yeah, Ryan, I'm sorry. It has to happen." I was like, "Okay, we'll talk tomorrow. Liam's downstairs."
Holy fuck, dude.
Yeah, dude.
That's like the complete opposite of like what happened with me.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And then I was like, I went downstairs. I was like, that was a heavy thing to hear, especially in that tone of voice.
Yeah. She was like catatonic on the bed. Ryan!
It's all over.
It's over. It's all over.
Jesus Christ.
Then
I had to like just be happy again with Liam. We watched a movie. I forget what it was. Damn it. That would have been such vital information for the story.
Cheaper by the dozen.
Two.
Two.
Yeah, so that sucked. And like, since my mom was mentally fragile, the whole experience was bad. And she would just shit on my dad nonstop.
Yeah.
Never in front of her, in front of him. But like, we'd get dinner. And he was like, "So, how's your father?" Like, "Good." And he's like, "He never really cared about you," or something like, he wasn't a good father, was he?" And I was like, yes he was, and he is. She would just shit on him to the point where I was like, "Mom, that is my dad and I love him.
Yeah,
you cannot be saying these things to me.
Yeah,
because I don't agree with you." Jesus, I had to like be a parent to my mom sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm so wise now.
Ralph's dead.
Ralph's dad.
Ralph died. Sorry, Ralph.
Great. Another woman out of my life. My God, I miss Frank so much.
Okay. Well, yeah, man, I don't know. I think divorce is good. I don't think marriage should exist. I'm never going to get married. I'm going to have children.
It is pretty out of date.
Yeah. I'm going to have kids, even though I know it's a sort of a selfish thing to do now since overpopulation, but I'm selfish. I'm going to have children. Mm-hmm. And then...
How many kids do you want?
I don't know. I think like... I would like to have like 3 kids. Like, because I had 2 brothers. Mm. And that really like... Maybe I just got lucky, but it creates like... Even if you're... Because it's really hard to make friends when you're in high school or even when you're a kid. Especially me, I was kind of like, I was pretty shy in school.
You're fat.
And I was fat and ugly, and so nobody wanted to talk to me. so I got along with my brothers for the most part. Like, we were all like each other's best friends. So I think that if I didn't have them, I would have been like really bummed out. So I think, yeah, just like 2 or 3 siblings, and then they have like a group.
Siblings are definitely good.
Yeah.
Because all those only child people, they turn out being fucking crazy.
Yeah, they turn out.
No, I'm just kidding. But I have noticed only children can be a little weird, or like they grow up being the center of attention. So in their adult life, they might have a hint of that still inside them.
Yeah.
But I want to change the subject for the last 5 minutes.
Sure.
Have you seen They Live, the movie They Live?
Oh, yeah.
I just saw it for my first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, it's great.
It was so good.
Yeah, it's really good. And not a lot of people know about it.
Vincent turned it on at his place, hoping we would make fun of it, because he has seen it years ago, but like the makeup was very out of date.
Oh, sure.
It wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But we were trying to make fun of it, but then I was like, I love this.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
And
Keith Garrett, is that his name?
I think, but who made it? It was... I think not James Cameron. Who made that movie?
I forget. Someone huge.
Yeah, it was a huge director. It was one of his first movies.
I should have looked that up.
But
it reminded me of you, actually, in your state of mind.
Oh, sure.
It reminded me of my state of mind when I was 21 and I was going through a rebellious phase. Like, I would literally look at stop signs and be like, why? Why would I stop? You're just a sign.
Yeah.
Because the main character in the movie finds these special sunglasses, and when he looks through them, he sees the truth in everything. Yeah.
He sees, like, isn't everybody like an alien monster or something?
Yeah, like bad people. Or there's a certain amount of population who are actual aliens.
Yeah.
Trying to take over the world.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. And then they would, like, show, like, you would, like, look at the newspaper or something, and it would be like,
obey.
Obey, obey, consume, consume, obey, obey. And it was like, I watched it too when I was like, younger, when I was 15, and I was like, fuck yeah. It's like, yeah. But like now, I'm really not that like against the machine as I was when I was a kid. I was really like,
fuck society, dude.
Fuck it all, man. While I do all the things that I'm saying, fuck it too. You know, I do all those things. So, yeah, I'm shocked that you just saw that.
Me too.
Oh, John Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
He made it.
Good movie. So everyone really listening, check out They Live.
Yeah.
Great fucking movie.
Yeah, man.
Then Vincent and I watched a bad movie on purpose.
What was it?
Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze.
Oh, he's dead.
Oh, shit. Okay, it was a great movie. No, it was bad. It's known for being bad.
Yeah.
But it's fun. Patrick Swayze plays a cooler, which is a bouncer. But he's like the best bouncer in the country.
Yeah.
So he goes to bars. But he's not really a bouncer. He's a cooler, which means he doesn't actually bounce. He just cools things off.
Wow. So if there's a fight breaking out at the bar, he's just like, hey, you could stop it or you couldn't.
He's just very stern. He'll like give head nods to the bouncers like, over there. And they'll kick him out.
Yeah.
Then he'll have like some dope ass one-liners to say. Dope ass comebacks. Of course, he gets a hot girl. Meanwhile, his character, I took note, not funny at all. There's so many badass movie characters.
Yeah.
They're not funny.
Are they trying to be?
No, but like women fall for the badasses in this movie. And I always think, but they haven't said anything funny.
Yeah.
They're not fun to be around.
So why are they falling for them?
Because they like bad boys.
Bad boys.
Bad boys, bad boys.
What you gonna do? Get all the girls in the crew. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I actually saw one. I saw a movie. Well, it's one of my favorite movies ever, but it's like, I watched it again recently. Ever seen Chinatown?
Swayze?
No.
See that? Kurt Russell?
No.
No, never seen it.
Oh, that's a big Trouble in Little China, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The Chinatown's with Jack Nicholson.
I never saw it.
Oh, really?
Is it good?
It's fucking great.
I'll have to watch it.
One of the best movies. It's one of the best, like, best written movies I've ever seen, I think, in my life.
When was it filmed? 70s?
72.
So, oh, yikes, dude.
Yeah. No, it's, dude, trust me, it's really good. It's not like, old movies can sometimes feel like dated in a way. Even though I love all movies from the 70s. The 70s and 80s, I love all those movies. 60s, it gets rocky because like they're black and white and they're like, man, oh, of all the cornerstones or whatever, she had to come into mine, all the bars and all the world. And it's like they talk like that and every guy sounds the same. Mm-hmm. But the 70s is like every movie from that, or most movies, are like really good. And Chinatown's like a detective. It's like a noir. It's set in LA in the 40s. And Jack Nicholson plays a detective and he's like trying to figure out this like conspiracy about water, which doesn't sound engaging at all. Mm-hmm. But it like, I don't know. It's just one of those movies where you're constantly like guessing what's going to happen next.
Cool.
And the ending is one of my favorite endings ever.
Nice. Have you seen the movie Life, relatively new, with
Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah. Did you see that?
Uh-huh.
That has a ending that I loved, too. A surprise ending.
Oh, really?
I like that movie. It freaked me out. I think that's the last movie that scared me. I mean, it was in the right state of mind.
Yeah.
It just, throughout the whole thing, I just had the creeps. So check out Life.
Check out Chinatown.
Check out They Live.
Check out
Roadhouse.
No, check out Roadhouse.
Don't check out Roadhouse.
Check out some guys at the mall.
Yeah, check out guys' asses.
Yeah, look at them.
Before, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
This was an episode where we're recording last minute, a little frantically.
Yeah, sure.
Because we're both killing it so hard. We did want to guess on this one, but couldn't do it in time.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, you've been editing for like 300 hours straight.
Yeah.
How's it going? Are you crazy?
No, I filmed this short film that's going to be out, hopefully, when's this going up? Wednesday?
Yeah.
So hopefully either on Wednesday or on Thursday, but we shot, it's a 27-page script. Ooh, and we shot two 12-hour days and with, a crew and everything, with a cast and crew. And so it was just, this one's with Alex Ernst. He's in it. And it was fucking, because I was sick. I had I'd never get sick. And just, I was like on Saturday when we had to start, I got sick. And then everyone on the crew's sick.
Oh, nice.
They were all coughing and sneezing. Luckily, it doesn't show up on the tape. But yeah, and then we finished two 12-hour days, and I've just been editing for like, yeah, like almost 2 days straight.
Damn.
And it's a lot of footage. And
it's turning out pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I really like it. But nice. It might be divisive. I don't know. Be divisive.
What do you mean? Like some people won't like it?
Yeah. I think it's mainly just because like it's long. It's 27 minutes.
Yeah.
Nice. But I don't know. Like, even everybody on the, like, Alex was like, why'd you make this so fucking long? And I was like, yeah, that story, it had to be that long. Nice. But yeah, dude, it's fucking, I don't know.
What's the general theme?
It's about, I don't want to say. Is that okay?
That's okay.
I don't want to say because I've always liked when you don't know anything about something that you watch before you watch it.
Right. Cool.
Cool.
All right. Well, then let's wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening. Rate and review the pod.
Dope.
Subscribe to our YouTube, youtube.com/I'm Sorry Dad. And check out, come to my show tonight if you're listening Wednesday, December 6th. Mm. Come to my show at the Hollywood Improv. Jamie Kennedy, Drew Lynch, Jay Walker, and myself.
Dope.
I might be filming a segment for a show.
Dope.
So come and support.
Dope.
Get tickets at hollywood.improv.com.
Dope.
And follow us on all social media.
Dope.
Well, Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad.